Blog Talk Radio.
You'll be right there, bro. Yo, what's up, bro?
All right.
You guys recording today? Oh, okay. What time? Okay. All right. Should be. Oh, this class was epic, bro. Yeah, the class was epic. Yep. Yeah. What the class? Got you. Got you. Yeah. So I was planning to talk about this elite proposal. I was just going to run down the scenarios and kind of just rap about it, get your thoughts on you know, what each one would look like and how it impacts the Knicks, basically. And then talk about the LaMelo thing quick. See how many calls. Waiting to see when Ward reschedules, potentially Thursday, potentially Wednesday, though. Yeah, that was fine. That was fine for me, bro. I was burnt. I was totally. Yeah, so when she rescheduled, I was cool with it. Yeah. Back. Oh, yeah, I got no. These people are fucking crazy. Killing you for it. Oh, my God. Jesus. What, and won't let it up. Won't let it down. People are nuts. Straight wild. Up for a second. That's you. Good. Yeah. Look up again. Okay. Let's get your full hand. Look up again. Okay. Limited. They don't want as many people there. Is that what it's saying? Oh. Okay.
Ready to roll.
Your shit scheduled?
I mean, I'm pretty much ready to roll. Mm-hmm. Looking good. Ready to roll. Testing. 1, 2, 3. Testing, 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 testing. I'm a computer. Here we go, Wooten Nick Nation. This is another edition of the Quarantine Stream Brunch Edition, JLs. How you feeling, man? Nice. Okay, all right. Just got my pizza on myself, so salute to you. Hope you're doing all right. Salute to everybody out there that's watching, man. Hit that thumbs up button for your boys. On today's episode, JLs, we're going to talk about the potential return of the NBA. Seems like the NBA is getting closer to a return. And there are some interesting season formats that the league is voting on at this current time to see how they're going to finish up the season. So very interesting what's being proposed and how that will affect the Knicks. So let's go ahead and break those down. Once again, salute to everybody in the chat. Hit that thumbs up on the boys. All right, JL. So according to Shams of The Athletic, the league right now is all 30 teams, the GMs of all 30 teams have been sent a survey to decide on the fate of the season. Right now, the proposal is to isolate down at Walt Disney World, Wide World of Sports, down in the Disney campus, clearly big enough to house, you know, all the players and the staff and so on and so forth, closed off to the public. They were also talking about Vegas as a potential site for the West, but I haven't heard as much traction on that end. So right now, it seems like Disney World is the proposed site. All right? So now, here's some of the things that are being discussed. They're talking about a two-step approach to the start of games. 2 weeks of training camp at your local site, and then a two-week quarantine camp at the playing location. So coincidentally, today, Governor Cuomo just opened up sports facilities for the local New York team. Now, the Knicks are still trying to confirm with the league whether or not they can get their players back to the practice facility. So they're still trying to work with the league on that. But Cuomo has, officially opened up the facilities for players to go back and start training. So you have the two-step process. Go ahead. This is just one of the topics being discussed, right? Also, obviously, the testing has to be thorough and consistent. They're looking at an alternative test to use on the players. The nasal swab test is quite invasive, uncomfortable for some, so they're looking for something a little bit lighter. And then they're saying once on the site, the teams could share support services, medical staff, and so on and so forth. All right, so here's the good stuff. The season format's being considered. Number one, go straight to the playoffs. All 16 teams with records counting as of March 12th, straight to the playoffs, right? Number two, a playoff plus option, which means remember when they were deciding for potentially changing up some of the season in start of 2021 in terms of a play-in option for the playoff team, where you took like 7 through 10 and have them play for 7 and 8. Right. And now remember, in the East and the West right now, there's several teams that were still vying for playoff spots and for seeding. So that could be the league's opportunity to implement this at a time when, you know, you're going to have an unorthodox finish to the season if you choose to close. Yeah. Pelicans. Yeah, I mean, would the league want nothing else than Zion leading the Pelicans through the play-in tournament and facing off against LeBron and the Lakers and in the 1-8 matchup?
I mean, come on, man. You know the league would be salivating for that. So that's a playoff plus option. Now, they're considering if they do the playoff plus option, how many teams? 18, 20, 22, or 24, JL. And if they go 24, they're New York Knickerbockers, baby. What a story. Julius is practicing his spin moves right now. Julius is taking us to the promised land, baby. There we go. Julius is working diligently right now to bring us, to deliver us to the promised land. So, yeah, there's that for Knicks fans. There's resume the whole regular season with all 30 teams, which I don't see happening, but that's certainly on the table. And then, you know, resuming the regular season with the play-in option, as we discussed. So, interesting stuff. And then they're saying in terms of format options for the playoff plus, could be a potential play-in tournament featuring bubble teams for the eighth seed, play-in tournament for the seventh and eighth, or group stage, kind of like soccer, where, you know, you have group A, B, C, D, you play each other twice, and then the leaders of each group would basically advance to the second round type of thing. Interesting. Yeah. Prior to the restart, 2, 3, 4, or 5 games, you know, to kind of get warmed up. Total regular season game sales, they're thinking about 72 or 76. Now, remember, a lot of teams, there's teams that didn't, you know, the Knicks have finished with 66 games. Some teams have finished between 63 and 67. So, number one, the lottery teams certainly have something to say in terms of finishing even, right? But also, the league wants to get past 70 games because 70 games is the minimum that they negotiated with their with the local regional network. So if they cut the season and don't get to 70 games, they have to refund those regional networks the TV money if they can. If they can, they have to, right? Because then you're talking about refunding the local networks. That's less income for the league, which but still helps the Knicks. Helps the Knicks if they drop the cap even further. Yeah. You know, so Brock Aller, he's got his calculator out right now, JL, so he's getting ready. He's got a plan. You know what I mean? Yeah. Playoff format that they're voting on, traditional East-West or reseed. Remember with the 2021 proposal, they're talking about potentially reseeding the playoffs. I don't think they'd go with the reseed. I think they'd just go traditional here, but I don't know. What do you think? Yeah. It's a little too edgy. I don't know. Yeah. I'm not sure, man. Roster considerations, they're saying possibility of a limited roster expansion. Choice of 1 to 3 additional spots would allow teams to have more players on the inactive list. Possibility of expanding playoff rosters for all playoff teams, 1 or 2 additional participants. Possibility of allowing 2-way players to be eligible for the playoffs, JL. How's Kenny Wooten's thumb feeling? Julius is going to need him for this stretch run. Julius might need him. We got to call Kenny, make sure he's good, man. Iggy, let's get Iggy up here. You know? Kenny Mallett coming back for the stretch run. And then they're saying latest possible date to finish. Labor Day, September 15th, October 1st, October 15th, or November 1st. Definitely. December time or into the new year. You're talking about maybe a 50-something game season. 60-something game season for next year. Well, it did in 2011. It did around there in 2011. Remember, it was a 67-game schedule.
Yeah.
Very, very interesting. Salute to you guys out there. Salute to Knicks Nation. What do you guys think, man? Well, what do you guys think? You know, it's again, if somebody catches this thing while they're out there, then what happens? You shut the whole thing down.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Correct way to do this is to have the testing done before you reach the bubble.
Well, I think it's gonna be daily.
Mickey Mouse Walt Disney.
Yeah,
right?
I think it would be daily. It has to be.
It has to be.
Yeah.
So,
I think it'd be daily temperature checks. You know, one test, a temperature check.
Yeah.
And, you know, not a medical person, but it's gonna be thorough and rigorous. You know that.
Like, if you test before you were even allowed on the plane or wherever, however, I think it should be all right in theory. I mean,
yeah,
you're all learning, but I guess step one is making sure everyone who's there doesn't have anything, and then step two is isolating everybody there.
That's right. That's right. And the phone lines are up if anybody wants to call in, weigh in on anything. You know, ask us any questions you want, 657-383-1509. Definitely call us up and talk all things Knicks. You know, JL, there's definitely – I see it as like three tiers of stakeholders in this whole thing, right? Obviously, you have the playoff teams that are already in. You know, the Lakers, the Clippers, they're ready to just get it on, get to the playoffs,
right.
let's get it started. But again, you have these bubble teams that have gone through the season with still, you know, some 12 to 15 games left where their strength of schedules can be so varied that a Pelicans may have had a legit shot of making the playoffs over Memphis or Utah or whoever the case may be.
Yeah, there's a lot of teams on that bubble that's just really interesting. Like he said, Pelicans, Utah, and even Portland. Like a team like Portland who was banged up. That's what I'm really curious about, because a team like Portland who was banged up, they might have had time to heal now. This might be an advantage to them if they end up getting into the season a little bit later, a little bit more healthy, and maybe they can actually knock some of these young teams.
Right.
I would think they would want to continue the season as well.
Yeah. And then, again, you got the teams on the bottom who, you know, they're not done tanking yet. You know what I'm saying? We're trying to get these lottery odds sorted out. Knicks won their last game against the Hawks. We need some sort of clarity here. Get us to the 72, and let's get these young guys out there and finish off the season.
Yeah, man. Can we get this tank happening? Like, what's
That's it. We got some tanking to do.
We got some tanking to finish.
You know? Yeah, because then it's like, again, if you don't get to the 70 or 72 benchmark, then how do you figure out what the lottery standings are? If the Knicks finish with 66 games, another team finished with 63, who's rightfully, you know what I mean? Who has the right to that pick? So that's why I think come hell or high water, no matter how long they have to wait to start this thing, I think they're going to start it.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't
restart
see any scenario. I mean, it's possible, but if I had to bet money, every party involved from the NBA and Adam Silver who would fans lose money to the people in the playoffs who want to get a few games under the belt just to, you know, get loose, because NBA is about rhythm, and at the end of the year is when the NBA teams really get their rhythm, really work out the kinks sometimes, and to sit for 3 months and then start right into the playoffs.
It's weird, man. It's weird. But, again, there's so much to lose for so many different stakeholders that I think they're going to try to start it by any means necessary, as long as they can see some of the numbers going down, you know, nationwide. And so, and then Dinwiddie gets on his soapbox on Twitter, and he's like, hey, well, what's the extra financial incentive for putting myself out there on the line? You know, and then that got a little contentious, you know, people telling him to shut up and dribble and all of that. You know? Yeah, it got ugly.
Oh,
it got ugly, man. So people started swinging on Dinwiddie, too. Man.
Oh, man. It's like, I don't like Dinwiddie, but...
You know what?
I'll say this.
I'm not when it comes to basketball and just like the sportsmanship, obviously I'm not a Dinwiddie guy. You know what I mean? But
you
I feel
it.
Like from a business standpoint, I like the fact that he's forward thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, you know, the thing about incentivizing for putting their lives on the line, is it a little tone deaf? Yeah, it is a little bit, but at the same time, you are asking these guys to put themselves out in potential harm's way to finish out the season.
Exactly.
So I can see both sides of the argument.
I can definitely see both sides of the argument. And if that sounds like a Spencer a Dinwiddie tweet, you know what I mean? Like with his things with Bitcoin and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But it's like, I get what he's saying, but I feel like this is a lot less risk with the NBA players. Maybe I'm seeing something, I'm not seeing something in the field of view, but because of all the testing that's happening with the teams and the NBA players, a lot more than is happening with me. I'm living in Brooklyn, and I'm in the hub of this. Like,
yeah.
No one's testing my job. Like, yeah. Like,
yeah, I mean, that's a privilege with sports, man.
Yeah.
A privilege with sports. You know, they get priority in a lot of these things.
Exactly. But I understand what you're saying. No one wants to be in harm's way. But it just seems like a lot safer for NBA players. At least, unless I'm missing something and I'm ignorant of something.
Yeah, seems so. Well, like I said, let one of these guys come down with it, and then it's another controversy.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's another controversy. So let's see what's going on. So to everybody in the chat, hit that thumbs up button for you boys. Brunch Time Edition Quarantine Stream. CP from Knicks Fan TV. My man JL from Nick of Time Show. If you're a diehard Knicks fan, make sure you hit that subscribe button and the notification bell so you don't miss anything. Check out some of our older content as well, JLs, man. The Langston Galloway interview was great. Thought that was really good. Salute to Langston Galloway for coming through. Charlie Ward rescheduled. It was supposed to be Thursday. We're going to shoot for Wednesday, but just look out for the notification when Charlie Ward gets here. And that should be another good one. And the captain's got the coronavirus, JLs. You know,
man.
Dropped that
yesterday.
Yeah. Tough. Tough. So definitely praise up for the captain. You saw Oak sent out his get well soon wishes.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good. You know, you don't want to see the petty stuff still
on
the surface, because this is a life and death situation. So you definitely don't want to play around with that. So you know, it was good of Oak to kind of step up, and put his pride to the side, and you know, wish the captain well.
Yeah, man, because like at the end of the day, what was he really mad about, really?
What was it all about, okay?
What was it all about? Yeah. Like, I understand him and Dolan, but he's like, he went there really, he wouldn't go astray.
I think, did you ask him that question? That was your fault, man. I think you triggered this whole thing. Oh, no, I asked him the question.
I definitely.
And he was tight when I asked him. He's like, what do you want to know about Patrick for? I was like, well, you said it. That was me, man. I was just looking for answers, okay?
I was just like, yo, when did this start? And he didn't tell me when it started. And I was like, yo, you talking about something that happened like 30 years ago, bro.
Oak will be Oak, but, you know, best wishes to the captain for sure.
Best wishes
to the captain for sure. In other news, JLS, news but not really news, but LaMelo, you know, a couple articles came out over the past couple of days. One that LaVar Ball wants the Knicks for LaMelo, and the Knicks are out after LaMelo themselves, potentially at all costs, at any cost, according to Chad Ford, Draft Insiders. Thinks the Knicks are on a one-way path to LaMelo, no matter what draft pick they acquire in the lottery. So, what's your thoughts on is LaMelo a by any means necessary pick for you?
No.
By any means necessary pick?
No, he's not a by any means necessary pick for me. It's like he's a great pick. There's only been a few times in NBA history when first round picks, when first picks have been traded, and usually they involve in your first round pick with a future first round pick. And when you consider the talent coming out next season, you would think that it's not really worth it to pack two first round for LaMelo. And I love LaMelo, and I feel like if we did get LaMelo, he would be really good for the team. But I also feel like there's other options if we do not end up here.
Yeah. So I think, depending on where you are, I think if they can get at lowest fourth, I think they could get a legit shot at him, even if they have to trade. That wouldn't necessarily kill them in the long run. You know what
right.
I'm saying? Like say let's say you got Golden State sitting there at 3, Knicks are sitting there at 4, maybe Golden State's willing to trade down. You know, you swap picks and maybe you put in the Clippers pick. Maybe that gets it done, or maybe you do a lottery protected pick in the next year.
If they're asking for our pick and the Clippers pick for LaMelo, I'm doing that. I'm not even going
to. Right? To swap two spots? No,
yeah.
But it'll probably cost you a little bit more. It'll probably cost you, like I said, a lottery protected pick in a future draft.
Next year's draft is too.
Yeah.
I would steer away from next year's draft like the plague.
Mm-hmm.
I would definitely steer away from
that. Now, if you're talking about, you know, you're sitting at 6 and the team that's in position to get LaMelo is at 1 or 2, then it's going to cost you probably.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to cost you a little bit more.
And the more I think about it, it's like if you don't get LaMelo, I'm still good with Killian. I'm still cool with trading down to Kira Lewis. I'm good with other options. I'm good with trading, like... I'm good. Melo would really fit nice. It seems like he would fit nice next to RJ, but there's other options that are too expensive.
I mean, I don't see them as the ideal pairing. I don't see LaMelo as the ideal pairing with RJ just because right now they're not the best shooting backcourt. But I think you still have to go for the best player available when you get him. When you get there.
It's the more upside for sure.
And the upside as well.
Yeah,
and the upside as well.
If you go, I mean, there's really faults with every person you really pick at guard.
Yeah.
From that standpoint, like if you go LaMelo, 32% from three, not horrible but not bad. Catch and shoot seems like okay, but it's like this, like you said, because of the shooting, they don't naturally fit all the way together. But at least you know he can set people up. He can set up. You can set up RJ. You can set up.
He's the best point guard in the draft. Talking about actually running off. There's no. I don't think you can question. Can't question.
Yeah. And if you go Killian might be a little safer because he can shoot, even though he doesn't really shoot. Even though his catch and shoot numbers aren't that good, his off the dribble shooting numbers are fine. And you figured maybe he can get that up quicker than anybody else because you know. If you can shoot off the dribble, you should be able to shoot, catch and shoot.
Right.
You would hope that would catch up. You would think that might be a faster fit with RJ and Mitch, maybe, without less headache, even though LaMelo has more of an upside.
I mean, either way, you get a LaMelo, you got to upgrade your shooting at the three, you know, regardless. Of who's playing with him in the backcourt, you got to upgrade your shooter.
Right.
You know that's how you get him active. Let's hear from Will from LI, JL's on the topic. Will, how you feeling, man?
Hey, how you guys doing, man?
What's good,
First off, I want to thank you guys for the interview, man.
They've been gems.
Appreciate you, bro.
Yep, really good stuff.
Really good stuff.
Listen, man, we gotta talk about LaMelo and starting up the league again. Because outside of the league, there's some moral issues about the whole idea of rich players getting first crack at these tests that should probably go into other people. I had kind of a solution, an idea. I feel like for every test that the players take, the league can donate three to communities that need it and stuff like that. So hopefully that could steer all the public relations aspect of it. But for the LaMelo stuff, man, I've been ecstatic. I love that the Knicks see what I see, and what we need to start thinking about these packages, potentially moving up. So what do you guys think about throwing in maybe or not?
Okay, that's where I'm hanging up, Will. Thanks for the call, man. He said maybe a Knox.
Maybe a Knox. Done.
That's where I'm cutting you. I'm cutting you short today. Salute to you, man. Appreciate the call.
Why you cut my guy off?
I mean, because well, first off, we don't know what the draft, what the lottery. We don't have a lottery pick yet. So to me, it would be ridiculous to think about trading packages when we don't even know. Suppose we get, again, a top three pick could get it done, depending on who's picking ahead of you. If Golden State has number one, they're not picking LaMelo. Cleveland, I think you had said maybe, but I can't see it. Maybe I think they would go Edwards over LaMelo. And then if the Knicks get third, you're good.
I can see that. You just never know.
You just never know. But I'm just throwing it out there that, you know, if you sit in top three, you still have a good chance.
Because the Timberwolves, I mean, Cleveland is moving like the old-school Timberwolves. I think we had a conversation with
Rubio, Flynn.
Yes. And the Timberwolves just kept picking point guards. And we're just like, there's no way they're going to pick another point guard.
There's no way.
Comes Rubio, and we're just like, mother. I know.
And still didn't pick Steph Curry. I think Glenn Taylor, I want to say Glenn Taylor was the GM of the Timberwolves at the time. That's absolutely ridiculous. Speaking of the Timberwolves, did you see this week, I think ESPN or something was doing like all-time this versus all-time that. Like they were doing like all-time Knicks versus all-time Nets starting five.
I saw the meme.
And then the Timberwolves one, it's like, they put Rubio at the one, Sam Cassell at the two, and it's like, come on, man. Like, blatant disrespect to Stephon Marbury, JLS.
Jesus.
David Kahn, they said, was the GM of the Timberwolves. Blatant disrespect to Stephon Marbury, JLS. Like, you know, the Bleacher Reports at ESPN, they try so hard to generate engagement.
And they win every time.
Yeah, they win every time because it's just so stupid. You know, it's just so stupid that they would do that. You're going to put Sam Cassell and Ricky Rubio up there, not Stephon Marbury?
All time. That's crazy.
That's crazy. That's crazy. So, you know, just funny stuff, man. Will also mentioned in terms of the proposal and the morality of it. You know, sports, you could argue, you know, it's an American pastime, man. This is what we lean on to get us through these times. This is why we put sports on a pedestal. Is it right or wrong? I can't tell you, JLs, but that's just how it goes. You know, the sport, the athletes are always privileged. How did KD find out that he had coronavirus that fast? He was one of the first people to get tested.
Adam Silver was already looking out.
That's it. That's it, you know. So, yeah, you could argue why are they getting priority over the public? But that's just always how it's been. I can't, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how do you solve that? You know, again, and again, when you talk about the money, JL, Father, but there's a lot of money at stake.
And it's economics.
It becomes it's capitalism versus morals, man. It's not just in sports; it's in business; it's in everything. As you know, the struggle, the two sides, reopening the country or staying home and staying safe. It's capitalism versus health versus morals. You know, it's an interesting debate because you can see both sides of it.
Yeah. No, you definitely can. It's been a struggle of America for the beginning of the time, man.
Facts.
Capitalism versus morals.
Facts.
We're kind of built on capitalism and
morals.
Of
course. That's the
foundation of our country.
You wouldn't be realistic if you say it. I mean, let's just be real. You know? I broke my quarantine rules, man. I went out and got a haircut, JL, so I was done.
I'm
done, man. I'm fresh. The spinners are back, man. I lost a couple of the spinners. I got to get back into training, get the surfboard out, you know, and get it going. I broke, man. I was
broke,
I was feeling like a lost soul in the house, man. I had to get out and go see my barber.
Look at that.
Yeah, I had to go see my barber, bro. You know that meme, the video that's going around with AI and D-Wade embracing at the All-Star game?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was me and my barber, like, this morning, man. It's just like, brother, man. Like, yeah, man, you know?
Oh, man, I've been doing it myself, bro.
Yeah.
I'm surviving.
Yeah, but I mean, with you, you got the dreads. So all you need is just get a little lineup. You know, you can do that yourself.
Yeah, I'll beat somebody myself, do a little twist up.
Yeah, a little edge up, you know.
I'll be with my Clippers, like, okay.
That's it, man. That's it. All right, back to the phone. Salute to everybody in the chat. Hit that thumbs up button for you boys. We'll rock for a couple more. Let's see who's on the line. Let's go to JJ from Brooklyn. JJ, how you feeling, man?
Yo, how you guys doing, man?
Yeah,
how's
you guys
everything?
Doing?
Good, bro. What's going on?
Good. I just want to say,
first off, man,
I appreciate you guys' kind words, you know, for the things that's going on in my family due to the virus, you know, as well as Dave and TM in the chat. They had a lot of nice things to say, as well as many others. So I really appreciate it, you know, it means a lot. Just hope everyone's staying safe out there, man.
Absolutely, man. Anything we can do to help you get through, man. Not a problem.
Yeah, appreciate it, man. Thanks again.
I just want to say one quick point about balls.
You know, you actually stole one of the things I wanted to say was, you say we got like fifth pick. Most of the teams at the top don't need point guards. When you look at the Hawks, T-Wolves, Warriors, you know, besides
Detroit,
you know, that's probably the only team at the top that needs one. And then I also just, to me, I like him, but I don't love him. It's not like, I'm not giving up. Next year's draft is going to be incredible. I'm not trading out a pick for sure. I don't even want to trade the Dallas pick because, you know, KP has hurt, so who knows? That could be a lottery pick. A great draft, I'm not trading that pick either. But I trade the 27th pick and like a notch to trade up a few spots, that I would do, but I'm not trading any picks, man. You know, I'm not doing that.
All right. No doubt, JJ. Glad you're doing all right, man. Appreciate the call, bro.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah, man. So we did hear, we heard from Will J. Ellis, who's, he's ready to throw Kevin a deal by himself and get LaMelo in here by any means necessary.
By himself, because that's going to get it done.
Yeah. And then JJ says, no chance. No chance he's trading up because he likes how next year's draft looks. And that, you know, those are all fair sentiments. Now, let's look at Tankathon a little bit here. And you know, JJ saying that, you know, a lot of teams might not need a point. But you know what it is? I do agree with that. You know, a lot of teams may not need a point. But again, if you're going with the best player available strategy, you still might get him.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. You might get him in work pieces and move something else.
Yeah. I mean, how many teams really, or how many people really saw a Golden State picking Steph when Monte Ellis was there still in his prime?
Boom.
You know?
Yeah, and they were left with the decision. They try to work much like the Cleveland Cavaliers. They try to play them both at the same time
and
keep work, and it ends up moving Monta eventually.
Right. I mean, Sixers, you know, Sixers had Noel, then they go get Embiid back-to-back, I believe. I got to go back and check, you know. But looking at it now, you see a Golden State. Again, I think there's a lot of other players that would help them rather than LaMelo. Cleveland, I think, is questionable. Minnesota, how loyal is Minnesota? How set on they with D'Lo? Are they with D'Lo?
That's a great question. And even just going back to keep harping on Cleveland, like I felt like I saw trade rumors in February about them trying to move their point guard.
Sexton, right?
Yeah, I definitely saw Sexton in some trade rumors, which is why I'm not super sure that it's going to be. You know, shooting guard or buzz. They might try to still move Sexton and get another
point.
Never know. Sexton wasn't really involving anybody.
Right.
So, and neither Garland, but even though Garland, you know, was playing a lot of shooting guards, so I'm not sure if that's fair to him. They might want a pass for his point guard.
Right. Atlanta, you know, you would think Atlanta's looking more at the two. But I have seen mock drafts putting LaMelo and Trae Young in the backcourt together. Detroit is a definite need.
Yeah.
New York is a definite need. Chi-Town.
Mm-hmm.
Charlotte, well, you know, they have Graham, they have Terry. They're trying to trade Terry, as we hear. But Charlotte could definitely be there. Washington, you know, maybe as the heir apparent to Wall.
Oh, yeah,
maybe.
See that. Because of the knees.
Right, maybe. You know, not a bad choice.
I'll cry. All the guards.
Hey, man. Let's go to William from the Bronx. He wants to weigh in on the LaMelo topic. William, how you feeling, man?
I'm good, man. Thanks for having me.
For sure.
So pretty much, I believe that LaMelo,
at least for us,
I believe that he is a must-have pick for us. I believe in terms of the issues that we haven't had a superstar point guard since Stefan Marbury, and I think a lot of the problems we've been having with our franchise, especially with the offense, don't have a point guard, especially in today's league. If you have to make a trade, do whatever you can to get this man in the blue and all. So that's pretty much all I got.
Appreciate the call, man. Be safe out there, William. Thanks for the call. So, Williams, mm-hmm. he's on the by any means necessary side, Jails. He's on the by any means necessary. Yeah. And again, let's see what LeVar's role in this will be. You know, he got Lonzo to the Lakers when he said he wanted him at the Lakers.
He's not by any means necessary, really. He said he is, but he's really not.
Who, LeVar?
Who just called?
That was William.
Yeah. He's not really by. If he was really by any means, then he would include next year. But he's not. He has sense too.
Well, true. and he did say, yeah, Killian maybe, and maybe Kira Wilkes as well. It did go that route.
I'll be fine. If the price is too crazy, I'm fine with Killian.
Yeah.
I'm settled on Killian.
I'll be fine with that.
Yeah.
I think I'll be fine with that.
I'm sorry. I'm passing on Colo and Ali. Killian, Kira, I'm good with that.
Yo, Maxie's still intriguing to me, man.
Maxie.
I don't know if he can. I think he's more of a shooting guard than a point, but he's still very intriguing to me. I think he's going to be a good player.
Okay.
I think Maxie's going to be a good player.
Yeah. I like the speed of Kira.
Oh yeah,
the speed and the efficiency. Like we have the athletes in Cole, but I feel like Kira's actually gonna hit the shot.
Mhm.
And not just be an inefficient value shooter. So I'm leaning more and more towards Kira if we can't get Killian or LaMelo.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's stay in the Bronx. Let's go to Ivan. You're up next, man. How you feeling, man?
Hey, what's up, man? I'm feeling good. How y'all feeling, man?
How y'all feeling?
Good, bro. What's going on?
Well, what I'm thinking is that LaMelo does have the hype behind him and all that stuff. But the fact of the matter is the guy is still on the prospect. And if he comes to New York, they're going to want this guy to be a superstar right away. Not the fans. The fans, I think, will be patient because no matter how bad the Knicks are, the fans are still there. Talking about the media. The media will want this guy to be a superstar right away. If he's not, and we traded all that, We're just going to wonder what would happen if we just would have stayed where we were and maybe drafted Kimmy or Tyrese. Who plays a lot like Lonzo Ball. Nobody's a ball. Nobody's a ball. You know?
Who plays a lot like who?
Like Lonzo Ball. Tyrese Halliburton.
Okay. You know? Okay. All right.
I think
JL's, everybody's going to want this kid to be a star right away. I don't think we're going to be as patient in his development, just like RJ, just like everybody else, man. It's New York.
Yeah.
You're going to automatically be looked at as a potential savior of franchise. And it's very unfair, but that's just the reality of the situation. The guy with LaMelo's fanfare, you're not just going to look for him to fit in, you know, when he gets here. You're going to look for him to take over. And again, we still need to have patience. He's still very young. And he needs to get his experience up, especially at the next level. But I think the expectations are going to be through the roof for sure.
Yeah, that's just everybody. That's definitely everybody. And I guess, like, the question is, too, like, LaMelo is really good and very talented, but it's, like, still the talent level. Like, where would LaMelo go if he was in a draft last year? You know what I mean?
Last year?
Yeah, last season.
Last season. I mean,
the season that just passed. Like, if he went in RJ's draft class, like, is he going over Zion?
No.
Is he going
over
Ja Morant?
No, because I think part of, yes, Ja is still better. Ja's a better player, and I think Ja's NCAA tournament really solidified his spot. I think LaMelo would go 3-4.
Yeah.
Between New York and Atlanta. I think LaMelo would go 3-4.
Like, once you get to 3-4, then you start to go, who's better, RJ or LaMelo?
Yeah.
You have a choice to make.
Yeah. I think he would have went 3-4.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And probably 3, because I'm sure if the Knicks had 2, they would have picked Moran over RJ.
Oh, yeah.
Any
Absolutely.
Day of the week.
Absolutely.
Because the point guard position has been such a glaring need. So
yeah.
I think LaMelo would have probably went 3rd. I think we would have gotten third or fourth.
Mm.
You know? Good stuff there, man. Another question I think came in from Twitter. I want to read the guys' comments. Salute to everybody in the chat once again. Hit that thumbs up button for your boys. Brunch time quarantine stream in effect. Let me read some more super chats. Salute to Michael Parker, JLs. He says, salute to the chat. Salute CP and JLs one time for the mods. And another super chat says, get LaVar Ball on the show. That would be crazy.
That would be crazy.
NYK Gunner says, salute Knicks Fan TV, Nick and Time Show. Hope you boys been great. Salute NYK Gunner. And Ishmael Rivas sends us a super chat, JLs. He says, great show. What do you think about trading the Clippers pick and Kevin Knox in exchange for a higher pick like 16 to 18? Draft Kira Lewis. I'd do it.
I do it.
You know, it's not like Kev. You got to pay to play, Jails. You got to take a risk. You got to take a chance.
I do it.
And so if you got to do that to go up and get a player that you believe in, you know, what's the opportunity cost? How good can Kevin Knox really be?
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to say, but I mean, if you're going to have to go up and get your guy, then you're going to have to trade. You're going to have to make a trade.
Yeah, shout out to Danny Thomas, another super chat. I don't quite understand it. Okay, he says, thoughts on NBA expansion and what cities look to expand. So are you asking what cities should expand?
Should get a team? Yeah, so I think –
bring back Seattle, I would say that.
Yeah, I think Sam Quinn of CBS News that came out with the article basically speaking on the advantages of expansion in terms of helping the league get out of its – issues financially in terms of TV ratings and as such, and so he did say you know, bring back the Sonics and whatnot.
I was right on time.
Right on it.
I didn't read the article. I already knew.
Yeah, so you know, Seattle is certainly an option. I don't know what type of basketball market Pittsburgh would have. We'll have to see how Las Vegas does with the Raiders, but if Las Vegas, who already has the NHL champions in the Knights. Or did they win, or did Las Vegas win the championship, or did the Capitals? No, the Capitals won. Sorry, but the Las Vegas hockey team did go to the Stanley Cup Finals. Mm-hmm. See how the Raiders do in Las Vegas, but you know, you already have a hockey team out there. You got a football team getting ready to start out there. Vegas for basketball. Yeah, it could be right there, especially when, you know, at first it was looked down upon because of the whole impact on gambling, but you're about to have gambling right on your cell phone. It's about to be right in your face, in your house. So I don't really think that's much of an issue these days as it was, you know, maybe a decade ago.
Oh, definitely not. Lee's trending toward gambling, and I think I feel like he's gonna embrace it more and more as like the years go on.
So, you know, I don't know if Vancouver's still a viable option. It certainly wasn't when they moved the Grizzlies, but Seattle, we know, would have to be at the top of the list.
Yeah, definitely Seattle's gonna be at the top of the list. Those are all good teams.
Yeah. Interesting stuff, man. All right, last call. Let's go to Anthony from Mount Vernon. Anthony, how you feeling, man?
Yo, fellas, what's up,
What's going on, bro?
Yo, I wanted to talk about Christian Wood and how hopefully we can get him in about 16 mil a year. What do y'all think about that? Drop Bobby Portis.
And
a couple of those one-year contracts.
Yeah, I mean, I think from what we're hearing, it looks like Bobby Portis is not likely to be brought back, at least at this early stage. Christian Wood at that price, JL, so I don't think that would be a bad deal. I don't necessarily think that would be a bad deal. How much is it? Well, Randall's about like 17 right now. It's 17.
Randall is 18.
18.
Randall is 18. The thing is with Christian Wood is Detroit Pistons kind of already cleared away a bunch of people.
Right.
And all they have is young guys left, so I – like, even though I would be down for it for, like, a 16, it's still a gamble because he's only been doing it for a few games. So
it's a very low sample size.
Yeah, very low sample size. And two, Detroit would match, I would believe. I feel like it would take something more ridiculous. It would take some Tim Hardaway ridiculous.
Nah, then you don't want to do it. You're not trying to overpay for it. You're not trying to overpay for Christian Wood, but team... Damn, that's still kind of pricey though, bro.
He put up like near 2010 for 20 games.
I'm just saying it. All I'm saying is that if you're gonna give a port, but see, Portis' thing was a 1 year deal, so it didn't really kill you. It doesn't kill you,
right?
Because you had to spend that money anyway.
Yeah, the only way I would do it is if you do what the Knicks was doing for the last few years. If you do a team option, one year option, I would do that.
Yeah,
but like I said, I don't know. I feel like Detroit would match it because I just feel like they like it.
Yeah, they probably would. And if that's the case, then so be it. Like he's not a can't miss player for me. So it is what it is. I'm not crying if they don't get Christian. And like you said, because the sample size is so low, you just don't know. Yeah, he's trending upward though. Like I said, I've liked him since summer league. Shot blocker, spaces the four, can shoot the three, very athletic, obviously. Gives you a bit of versatility out there at the four and the five. So, very Christian Wood, it would definitely be a valuable piece.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man, that's a gamble. That's definitely a gamble. It could
huge.
Be worth it. It'll be sold, but
huge.
Yeah.
Making $1.6 million this year with Detroit.
Woo!
Up above the 15, but I mean, look at his production, it's hard to argue against it.
Definitely.
It's, you know,
I saw some numbers, I think he's like, what, 85th percentile in catches, and he can run, and he can block, man.
Right. It's hard to argue against it, even though it's a short sample. So.
Yeah, it really is hard.
Yeah.
Especially the way our team is built, and it's like, man, this can really give RJ some space at the peak.
Absolutely. Absolutely, man. Question from Twitter goes to JiggyX_1. He says, thoughts on CP3 and Carmelo being on the roster next season? Your thoughts, James?
CP3? Gosh, man. I don't want to do it, man. I can see CP3 here. I don't want the pressure of Melo here. This is too much. It's just too much right now. I would more rather Melo be here if he's for real. Like,
yeah.
I know CP3 can definitely elevate everybody, and it's a possibility you can sneak into some type of playoff something. Who knows? Possibly, but that's like everything goes right. With LaMelo Carmelo here with the circus and then playing time with Knox and going up and down again, it's just too much.
I wouldn't do it. And I'm not sure there's a bigger Carmelo fan in the world than me. I wouldn't do it. I would take CP3. I wouldn't bring Carmelo. And that's not because I understand all the sentiments, all that great stuff. Welcome home, finish with the Knicks. Great. You talking him by himself would be him with CP3. I'm not doing it. And of course, especially if you're talking about having a Randall here, I'm not doing it.
Woof.
Not doing it.
Woof.
I'm not doing it. Because then JLS, you're in the middle. Right? You're not really, you're not truly rebuilding.
Exactly.
But you're not going to win anything. You're going to be hovering in that middle of mediocre where it's like you have a borderline team that could maybe vouch for an eighth seed, but you have three guys who are going to take away everything from your young players' development.
Hey, boom. Boom. Like it's like you get to this point where, all right, once again, like, you saw how we saw RJ kind of take over during that Houston game and everybody got excited.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's not happening with CP3 and Melo.
No.
That is not happening. We'll get to this point where you'll see the young guys will, you know, they'll take some things from a veteran because, you know, they're NBA professionals. And they can definitely teach the young guys something, but there has to be the balance between watching and doing. And
facts.
You want them to do and not just watch.
Yeah, I don't think it would be a good idea, man. I just don't think it would be a good idea. CP3, yes, because I want him in here. I want him in there directing traffic. I want him in there coaching on the court, directing the young guys, holding them accountable. Melo's role here, it would not be the same as it is in Portland. I've said this already. His role here would not be the same as in Portland. You give him two little shots, it's going to be, why isn't he playing? Why isn't he shooting? You give him too much, what about the young guys? It's going to be endless drama once again. Got to stay away from that, Jales.
Yeah, man.
We got to stay away from that, man, and just focus on building the team properly. Man. You know what I mean?
Agree.
And
love
that's
Melo. With that. Love you, Melo.
Yeah, man. That's my guy. All day and Sunday. You know what I mean? So, anyway, man, let's wrap up. We're good stuff.
Yeah. Awesome. Super chat. Oh, man. Shout out to Bad Book One. To Steve Jealous, my fans. Stay safe. My mom recovered from COVID, but lost my cousin. Thanks for the diversion, Knicks fan. TV and the time. Shout out to you for doing something for me and the family.
So, it's a Bad Book One, man.
Yeah,
man. All right, Jale, so let's wrap up.
Yeah. So, definitely check out new episodes of Nick of Time. We just dropped episodes a few days ago. Pretty entertaining, so check that out. Also, check out the blog at thenickoftimeshow.com. The guy, Dave, Knicks Fan TV Dave wrote something for the blog.
Dave.
Pretty good article on RJ Barrett and what it will take for him to be an all-star, so definitely check that out. And more articles coming soon down the pipe. Also get your merch, t-shirts, phone cases, all that stuff at thenickoftimeshow.com. That's all. Catch you.
Yes, sir. Good stuff, Jales. And enjoy your Memorial Day. Salute to everybody that tuned in, man. Once again, hit that thumbs up button for your boys. You know what it is. Number one show for the fans, by the fans. Remember, salute to all #new. Leave us a #new in the chat. And throw your cities in the chat as well. Let us know where you guys are tuning in from so we can shout you guys out as we wrap up. Remember, you can get your merch down below. This video is available in audio podcast format, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Amazon Alexa, and Stitcher. And let us know what you guys think about the proposed season format with the return of the NBA season. Me personally, I think this is my prediction. I think that they will end up getting to a 72-game benchmark. I think they're going to go with the playoff plus option of getting those bubble teams in. I think they'll expand it to 18, get those bubble teams to play that tournament to see who lands the 18.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I think that's how it's going to go, man, on the proposed season format for the NBA return. So, going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting to say the least. But at the end of the day, we definitely appreciate everybody for tuning in, everybody for checking in. You guys be safe out there. Enjoy your Memorial Day. Super Chat came in, JL. Salute you, Alan Berman. Sends us a Super Chat. $50 Super Chat, Alan. We definitely appreciate it. Much appreciated, Alan. And his comment says, keep missing these lives, but salute, fellas. So appreciate it, Alan. And, yeah, if you guys missed it, remember, it's available in podcast format. You could always catch the replay and catch some of our previous interviews, man. Rasheed Wallace, Xavier McDaniel, Langston Galloway. Three very, very good interviews, man. So I definitely catch up on that over your Memorial Day holiday. And look out for the Charlie Ward notification. Definitely look out for the notification of the Charlie Ward interview. So, Dale, so you want to shout out in your chats?
Yeah, shout out. Man, shout out Don, Dave, John Plenty, my guy, Allen, Colin, Casey, Mods, Craig, William, Fritz, Edward L. Hunter, Kenny Dethard, Knicks fan, Scott Chavin, everybody who's representing POP and the team.
Yes, yeah, sir. Shout out Alex Collins, second in from Ireland. Shout out to all the Mods, John Talento, Bad Book 1, Diverse 1, Pranav, always appreciated, Chen, always appreciated. Yeah, man, everybody that's tuning in, Rome, appreciated, Aiden Velez. Who's my favorite Nick? All time, Patrick Ewing. Right now, it's Mitch. Favorite Knicks. Lee Blocks, I'm checking in from London, JLs. We had someone checking in from Germany as well earlier today. So salute to Germany as well. And, yeah, man, we'll check you guys later on this week. Make sure you hit your notification bell. Look out for the Charlie Ward interview. Peace. Night, night. All right, good stuff, bro. Catch up with you, man.
Mm.